Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being part of our Monday with us. And thanks for making us part of your day on a daily basis. 6 until 10 Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Friday. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes from now, it's the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. 40 years today since the gold medal game against Finland. 2 days ago was the 40th anniversary of the Soviet Union win. And so we will play the most emotional moments from the movie Miracle. Coming up on the show in approximately 40 minutes from now. Next hour, this was such a cool sports story this weekend where the Carolina Hurricanes were down to the emergency goalie. In hockey, both teams dress two goalies, and then there's a third in the building for either team. So think about that. You're in the building and could compete for either team any given night. So in this game, the Carolina Hurricanes lost both of their goalies, meaning that David Ayers was going to come in for Carolina. He comes in, if I'm not mistaken, gives up 2 goals on the first 2 shots, and then proceeds to save the next 8 and wins the game for Carolina. David Ayers was a Zamboni driver before the game, a Zamboni driver after the game, but for one night got a win for an NHL team and was the number one star in the game. He's going to join us here on the show coming up in 1 hour from now. But a little NFL draft news here, because while the number one pick has been getting a lot of attention, Cincinnati, will Joe Burrow go there? Does he have much of a choice? Many people have debated whether the Bengals should draft Joe Burrow or whether he should refuse to play there. Number two, Washington seems set with Ohio State defensive end and monster Chase Young, leaving the Lions at number three. Now, before we get further, I think about you a lot, Mraz, when it comes to the Lions at number three. Because the Giants beat Washington during the season in a meaningless, ridiculous December affair. And had the Giants just lost that game like they should have, they wouldn't be worried at all about what the Lions did at number three ahead of them.
No, and again, I believe, because they lost, the Giants have had so many losses, I've lost track. I believe they lost Week 17. I believe the Giants would be picking second overall had they not beat Washington. It wouldn't even be third overall.
That's exactly
Washington,
right.
Would have the win. Right.
Yes.
Exactly. And it would be not a problem in the world. But what is inevitably going to happen is the Giants are going to have lost Chase Young to their division rival, and then the third pick's going to come around, and the Lions are going to, in the end, turn and trade to whoever wants that quarterback, trade back, And the Giants are sitting there now with no assets that they could have garnered on a team to trade up and without the defensive end they wanted. And they'll probably pass on another defensive star to take an offensive lineman and take a flyer. And then here we are in round and round, the terrible carousel of Dave Gettleman turns.
The Giants won a game over Washington they never should have tried to win. If management was smart, you start all of the practice squad guys. It's a late season game. It's meaningless. You bring in the backups and you make sure you lose that game. Because by virtue of winning a meaningless December game, you have now sacrificed potentially, let's say, three picks in return that you could trade out of the number two or the number three slot because somebody wants to jump up and get Tua, Herbert, or one of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and Saquon, who stunk all year, needed to be Barry Sanders in week 16. It was well worth it. Thank you.
So the Lions sit there at number three, and there's rumors of the Lions trading that pick. Now, this is interesting because there's been some rumors about the Lions moving on from Matthew Stafford. But the Lions have already cut bait with a couple of guys, either traded or released, that makes you feel like they're looking for a reboot and a rebuild. Now, the Lions were 3-12-1 last year. They probably should not have been that bad, but the Stafford injury really killed them. They lost some tough games early. If you're the Lions and you're looking to reboot, this is the perfect slot to do it. Because you know what? Matthew Stafford has football left. Matthew Stafford has good football left. All right, Matthew Stafford is likely never going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Okay, that's fine. But much of that has to do with the organization he plays for, not him. Is he the perfect quarterback? Of course not. Does he have his flaws? Of course. Matthew Stafford has thrown bad interceptions and forced bad balls and been, you know, bad in late spots. So I'm not here to tell you that he's the perfect quarterback. But Matthew Stafford, by and large, has not been the problem in Detroit. The problem has been a lack of supporting cast around him, a lack of direction, a lack of stability, and a lack of coaching. You can win games with Matthew Stafford. And let me just remind everybody this. Before everybody wants them to move on, trade up, or not even trade up, but draft Tua or Herbert at that number four slot and trade Stafford, Matthew Stafford's 32 years old. 32 years old. Okay? So it's not like you've got to make a decision right now. Matthew Stafford is 4 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. You have time. You have plenty of time. What the Lions are doing here is very smart. They're shopping number four. And if somebody wants to jump up to jump the Dolphins for Tua, or somebody wants to jump up to get Justin Herbert, and that might be a little high for Herbert, but if somebody really wants their quarterback, and they say, you know what, we can't wait around. We got to get up there and move. And the Lions go, we're open for business. What the Lions can do is bring back multiple number ones or another number one and a couple of number twos. They can bring back a good haul at number four because somebody's desperate for a quarterback and hold on to Matthew Stafford and spin the wheel of quarterback, who knows, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, next year. You know, the Lions don't have to make the decision right now on Matthew Stafford. In fact, you can win games with Stafford. And I know that he was injured all of last season or most of last season. But at 32 years old, it's not a pressing concern right now. As they say, kick the can down the road. Make the decision when you have to make the decision later on, not now. Collect draft pieces, collateral, draft stock, young players, boom. Then you move on into the next couple of years and see how it develops and see what Stafford could be if you have a program behind him. Now, I don't know if Matt Patricia's the guy. I don't know if the Quinn and Patricia combo is the right combination, but I know this. Stafford's not the problem right now in Detroit. The problem is you need more talent, and we need to be convinced that Patricia's the right guy. Whereas, if I'm the Lions, this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm open for business at number four, and if somebody wants to trade up to go get two at number four, I'm taking the business, I'm taking the draft picks.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the beauty of this, if you're the Lions, is the teams that are likely to trade up are the teams picking at 5 and 7, the Dolphins and Chargers. So it's not as if it would be a team drafting at 20, 22, 23, where you have a chance at an elite player at 3, and you have to weigh the, well, we're going to get a lot of assets, but our crown jewel pick this year will not be until later. I mean, chances are, since you don't need a quarterback anyway, if you're the Lions, whoever you have rated as your top two or three guys is going to be sitting there in that Dolphin or Charger pick if that's the team you trade with. So you will still get the caliber of player you are expecting to take and need at three while collecting those assets, and that is the ultimate home run if you're Matt Patricia and this Lions team.
I like it. I like the move. Open for business. Trade out of four. Keep Stafford. I like it a lot. We were talking about this last hour, whether the quality of the XFL is actually going down. P.J. Walker looks really good. There's some players that are flashing, but by and large, it doesn't seem to be getting much better by the week. Mraz seems to think that watching these XFL games, and he's watched far more than most of us here on the show, is partially due to a disorientation, unfamiliarity with the jerseys and the scoring system. That going for 1, 2, and 3 points after touchdowns is making things confusing. So today's poll question is, are you disoriented by the rules and the uniforms of the XFL? I don't know if I'm buying this here. William tweets, the Vipers unis seem to have been born from the creators of the video game Dragon's Lair, except that game was cool. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, once Taylor starts crawling and walking, Mraz is not going to be able to have two TVs on preseason NFL.
Oh, yes, I will.
Anthony tweets, Mraz is right. Weird jerseys and weird scoring just don't give the casual fan a good relation to NFL high-level college ball, and this is probably a turnoff for some. I mean, really, people are watching the XFL and they're turned off by the uniforms? I mean, don't we expect them to be crazy, weird, bonkers spring football uniforms?
Not really, because the AAF uniforms and the original XF uniforms were nice. They were sharp. Those Memphis Express uniforms last year, you could throw them on the Chicago Bears tomorrow, they'd look good.
Well, let's not change the Bears uniforms, but I did like the Express uniforms.
Right. There is not one of these eight uniforms that you look at and go, that's a nice, clean-looking, good uniform. It's all a little wacky.
Too busy.
Right. The Dragons uniforms, what's going on?
Michael tweets, I think the little chubby guy is being too hard on the XFL. Their whole point is to be different from the NFL. The football has not been great, but it's only been 3 weeks. They deserve a chance to get things right. This harkens back to Andy Gresh last week calling Mraz a little bald chubby stooge.
I thought we were moving past this. Now, listeners want to call me this as well? It's a nice reset. It's a nice Monday morning. We've now a full week removed from my investigation. We credited me last week. I thought we were starting anew today. Well, except for the fact that Pete bailed out again. But I thought we were starting anew as a show today.
That's old news. That's old news.
Yes.
And then the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Don't like him at all. One that looks like you, but yeah. A little off.
Yeah, Pete.
Pete was off all of last week on vacation, all of last week, and then somehow came down with a stomach bug Saturday.
And can guarantee he's in tomorrow.
Because he had to book Sam Rubinoff, schedule him to be in today, so he knew Saturday morning he was going to be out Monday morning. Does that feel like an extended vacation for Petey?
Well, was I the last to know? He texted me yesterday he's not in. We knew Saturday?
Sam says he was booked on Saturday.
I was told Saturday to be prepared to come in on Monday, and I'll let you know on Sunday. It was I'm putting myself as doubtful on the injury list, but I'm really out, but we're just calling it doubtful for now.
But he doesn't let us know that on a Saturday?
I mean, I don't need to know, but do you need to know?
I don't need to know is a little strong. Should I know? I mean, let's pick a lane here. I'm going to be crushed for being a bad producer. Then when I do produce, shouldn't you let the producer of the show know?
No, here's where I think you have a gripe about Bilotti not telling you until a day and a half later. is that he expects you to put in for your days off so far in advance.
Great example.
And then he doesn't tell you or nobody tells you until the 11th hour before today's show.
And he tells me last night basically before I'm ready to go to bed because he doesn't want the pushback. He's a scaredy cat. If he tells us Saturday, it could lead to bombardment of texts. How you feeling, Pete? How you doing this? He would rather phase out. So he lets Rubinoff know that he needs him, then doesn't let any of us know until whatever time last night he wanted to let us know.
But I will say that you are... You're kind of a fake tough guy, too, because when Pete texted us, you texted back, "Aw, geez, feel better, Pete."
Because he's still a human being, D.A. I mean, the guy still lives and breathes and has organs. Like, he's still a human being, and I'm being a kind. He tells me, if he tells...
Well, where's the tough guy act because that you're saying right now on the radio?
Well, time out. I didn't know until 2 seconds ago that Rubinoff knew on Saturday he was going to be out. I feel like you know, Pete all of a sudden had a couple bad sliders, and it was 4 p.m. on a Sunday going, oh, this is going to be a bad scene. And I can relate to that. That is the one illness you know I can relate to, a little stomach problem. Exactly, Andy.
So, Sam, what time on Saturday did you know you were ready to go for today's show?
If I had to guess, it was around 2 o'clock that I got the first text Saturday.
The XFL hadn't even kicked off for the weekend yet.
Okay, so 2 o'clock on Saturday, Sam knows he's on the hook. Pete texted us at 2:21 yesterday. Hey, guys, caught a nasty stomach bug / food poisoning this weekend. I'm out tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday. Sam with you tomorrow. So he, about 24-hour delay on Sam knowing and then us knowing.
I don't like that. I think you got to at least keep one of us in the loop. And also, how do you know you'll be back Tuesday? How do you know?
You can't know.
What is in your stomach is done by Tuesday. You could be laying there tapping out of the mat.
You can't know that.
Sam, on the first message from Pete, was it, hey, I might need to be off. Are you around Monday?
Yeah.
How
was it worded? Okay. Was it hard and fast, you'll need to be in, or you might want to be ready to be in?
Hey, man, can you be on standby for me Monday? I have a bad stomach bug. Hope it's calming down, but just want to have a plan in place.
Okay.
And then I said, yeah, I can be
all
there.
Right. All right.
He said, okay, I'll make the call tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. All right. That gives him an out.
That's not bad.
It's hard to crush him for that.
Yeah,
text.
No, that was proper.
But I'm with Sean on you can't possibly, he's now on day 2 of a stomach bug.
Perhaps day 3.
Right. So 24, 36, maybe 40.
Because he already knew Saturday morning that he needed somebody on standby by Monday.
Because it wasn't
up very ill Saturday a.m.
Okay.
So we're going on day 3 now.
Okay, but see, now I got to be honest. That I have a little bit of a problem with. You wake up very ill on Saturday. How is work on Monday even on your mind? We still have 48 hours to go.
That's fair.
And I know you want to be ahead of things and you're working a morning shift that's not an afternoon on Monday. You could wake up on Sunday, especially because he's not even the guy calling out. He's the guy who has everybody's contacts to replace him anyway.
Let's be real here, okay? Who has ever woken up with food poisoning or a stomach bug on a Saturday morning and said, I can't go to work on Monday? Everybody expected to be done in 24 hours.
Or
everybody.
Yeah. Or even like that mindset of like, man, I hope I'm okay. Like, you would never go to that extent of having somebody on standby. You wake up Sunday and you have somebody on standby to see how I feel later in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. Pete's the guy that would start thinking about this sooner than anyone else would. So that doesn't bother me. I'm with you, Sean, on he can't possibly, if he's this sick, declare at 2:20 on a Sunday, I'll be back Tuesday. He can't see the finish line with this thing. If it's already going on 24 plus hours, he shouldn't have the confidence to say, I'll be back Tuesday, because he can't come back Tuesday unless he's healthy, because I don't want that floating around here either.
No question.
Well, it's food poisoning. It's not, can't contract that.
He doesn't know it's food poisoning.
Right. Exactly. It could be just a bug. Right. My daughter's sick right now. I don't think she has food poisoning. I think she has like a stomach bug. So like, I'm afraid of getting sick from her.
He suggested in the text it was food poisoning.
He doesn't know what's going on. He's not a trained doctor. The guy plays a couple drops Monday through Friday to diagnose himself.
Yeah. But we all know food poisoning. You eat something, you wake up the next day and go, this is what I ate.
Not me. It could be something I ate, or it could be I shook somebody's hand the wrong way. Either way, it all ends the same.
Okay. All right. Well.
The length of it, I think, now takes out food poisoning, right? If he's it was still
Saturday morning and he's
and Sunday
Monday.
Afternoon,
which means he had to eat something Friday night. Does it take you out through Tuesday?
Where is he eating? The middle of the jungle?
Well, they were driving home, I think, from wherever they were, North Carolina, so I mean, New Jersey.
You know, and to be
truck
fair,
truck stop Roy Rogers. You never know.
Yeah, but Pete's not exactly the most, you know, explorative type of cuisine guy. It's not like he's going to be right. testing the boundaries. He's probably eating at a Roy Rogers, which right. is the type of place that you don't get sick from.
Well,
he loves the Fixin's Bar. I mean, that's him.
One of these places we did discuss last week having dudes tub in their sink. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're the cleanest operations going. Yeah.
Fair. Okay.
All right.
Fair.
One more question. If Taz is still here, who he kisses the tuckus of, is Pete in today?
No.
I don't know their relationship. I don't know their dynamic. Bogues was on that show.
Yeah, no, I don't think Pete would have played tough to come in for Taz.
Interesting.
No, I
interesting.
Would not.
Okay, all stuff we can get into this week in the PGP, I'm sure.
Right.
When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. Plus, G League coach goes off on officials. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm never going to come on the King DA show and correct him. So I was just going to handle that myself and kind of move on quickly because I respect you too much, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
One that looks like you, but
yeah.
a little off.
Yeah, Pete, yeah.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Remember to watch us at watchda.com, won't you? Watchda.com every single day on any device. You can watch us at watchda.com. No sign-up needed. No subscription. No cable provider needed. Just turn us on your phone or your tablet. Maybe your desktop, your computer. Perhaps your smart TV. Watch us every morning. WatchDA.com. The absolute best part of us being on WatchDA.com with the simulcast is Cap's gifts. Okay, he takes footage from the show and turns them into gifts, which are little mini videos that run on loop. And right now he has tweeted out a video of Pete the Body pouring a bag of, is that baked Lay's down his gullet?
It's certainly not baked Lay's.
He's pouring a bag of Lay's into his face over and over and over again, and the hashtag is food poisoning question.
I need a deep dive into the Kaplan filing situation. Like, how does he find this within 90 seconds?
How did he know we were going to need Pete on food poisoning and buried a bag of chips?
And it looks like surveillance video. Like, like he's caught Pete like in the back room sneaking a snack. Oh, so that's amazing.
On Twitter, just search hashtag DAGIFS, DAGIFS, and you will get all of them. And they are all impeccable. All of them are hysterical. Absolutely awesome. Before we get to Bogus's headlines, I want to play for you coach of the Wisconsin Herd. This is a G League team. Okay, the Wisconsin Herd ripping, or the refs, well, the Wisconsin Herd blowing a 21-point lead in the G League. This is their coach, Chase Buford, ripping the refs.
Oh, the officiating definitely went right for Grand Rapids. That was as unprofessional as an officiating performance. And I hope you tweet this out and tag the league because that was embarrassing. Matt Rafferty is a clown. That being said, we have to be so much better at the end of games. We can't blow a 21-point lead with 12 minutes to go. However bad and biased and unfair and illegal and cheating the referees are, we have to be better closing games. And so that's the way I feel.
How illegal and cheating the refs are?
That's not even a proper sentence. Not even a proper sentence.
And Matt Rafferty's a what?
We had to bleep it out.
Is Matt Rafferty the ref or the opposing coach?
Probably the ref. That, That's incredible. So the head coach of the Wisconsin Herd jumped out to a 39-25 lead over the Grand Rapids Drive. Look, when you get the Herd and the Drive together, you throw out the record books, obviously. By the start of the fourth quarter, they were up 21 points. Instead, the Drive outscored them 48-20 in the final frame. They get out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin with a 126-117 win.
Tough to get out of Oshkosh winning like that.
It's the Tuscaloosa of the G League, for sure.
No question.
No one wins there.
Don't go. That's Death Valley of the G League. And Chase Buford, can we play this one more time? Listen to Chase Buford, the head coach. Let me just give you also the scene of this. He is, of course, in G League form. He has one microphone in front of him, probably a local newspaper reporter. And he's in front of just a blank wall,
I think it's a cinder block wall, is it not?
Cinder block painted wall. Like this is post game of your high school's men's basketball coach, boys basketball coach. And his hair is disheveled. He has been yelling and screaming and running his hand through his hair the entire night. He looks like he just came in off of a bender. And here is what he says about losing to the Grand Rapids Drive.
The officiating definitely went right for Grand Rapids. That was as unprofessional as an officiating performance. And I hope you tweet this out and tag the league, because that was embarrassing. Matt Rafferty is a That being said, we have to be so much better at the end of games. We can't blow a 21-point lead with 12 minutes to go. However bad and biased and unfair and illegal and cheating the referees are, we have to be better closing games. And so that's the way I feel.
By the way, you can find Chase Buford on LinkedIn.
Yes.
If you saw this. Head coach, Wisconsin Herd for the last 8 months. Before that, an assistant coach with the Delaware Bluecoats.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, assistant coach with the Erie Bayhawks, and was the coordinator of player development and a video intern for the Bulls and the Hawks before that. Before that, he was in marketing.
Yeah, he was also a bench warmer at Kansas for 3 seasons. His dad is R.C. Buford, who half runs the San Antonio Spurs.
Is he really?
And that same Google search will tell you that the Bucks were really excited they could hire Chase Buford to coach their G League team, I think for basketball, not for this stuff. But I guess at 30 or 31 years old, he's got a bright future ahead of him. But I hope so, because we need more of that.
So he's got a little Popovich in him from his dad, R.C. Buford. Okay, interesting. So, Andrew Bogut is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning again. The Portland Trail Blazers continuing their playoff push right now without the injured Damian Lillard. So, CJ McCollum scored 41 last night, and Melo turned back the clock.
33 seconds left to play. CJ into the front court. Slows down his dribble. Defended by Galloway. Right-hand dribble has it along the near sideline. Dribbles with the left hand. Now to the right. 8 seconds to shoot. Back to Melo. 18-foot jumper. It's good! And the Blazers lead it by 4.
Travis Demers on Blazers Radio. Melo a season-high 32. His first 30-point game in almost exactly 3 years. He was still a Knick back then. Portland is 4 back of Memphis in the loss column for the final spot out west.
Melo's renaissance in Portland has been amazing. And it's not getting a lot of run because the Blazers aren't very good. And everybody in Portland, we keep focusing on Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, understandably so. The fact that Carmelo Anthony was out of basketball basically all of last season and can have a 30-point game this year is relatively remarkable.
It is, and you're right that if they were better, it'd be a bigger story, but they're still far from the postseason. And
2.5 back of the postseason.
Well, I mean, it's 4 back of the loss column. And they're 6 games under 500, and they're trailing the Grizzlies, which is not where the Blazers should be or where people thought they would be going into the season.
No doubt, and that's part of the reason he's playing so much.
Why they needed him, too.
Right, exactly. So it's a little chicken or the egg, but he's making the most of this opportunity. And if you would have asked me a year ago, will Carmelo ever score 30 points in an NBA game again, I would say you'd be lucky to see Carmelo in an NBA game.
And if you're playing for Chase Buford and Oshkosh.
That's exactly right.
Unless I missed it, no drama. I mean, the Rockets were cool with him leaving and were dropping little hints that he sucked to be around. But no, nothing that we hear like that from Portland.
It's too bad that Portland sucks so bad, because if they were actually kind of a frisky team in the Western Conference playoffs, it'd be like, oh, cool, we get to see Carmelo in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that personal. I don't need to see Carmelo in the playoffs again. Like, that's not a thing for me. But I do think that if they...
Well, he hasn't been in the playoffs for so long because he played for the Knicks.
And I'm fine if he stays out of it. Like, I don't have a personal need for Carmelo to have, like, one little last swan song.
He didn't play in the playoffs with the Thunder. I guess he did. They must have made the playoffs, but I don't remember that playoff run.
I don't remember him at all. And by the way, speaking of that, the Thunder, are they the most untalked about? 13 games over 500. Chris Paul went there. We thought they would be terrible.
Yep. Exactly, the sixth seed right now in the West.
You're done on the Blazers. The Pelicans are a half game behind those Blazers, a 115-101 win at the Warriors last night. Zion had 28, including his first three since his debut late last month. The Raptors shame the Pacers, 127-81. Toronto's won 17 of 18. And Sixers guard Ben Simmons out tonight against the Hawks as he undergoes further testing for a back injury. Simmons missed last Thursday's game with the Nets, then left after 5 minutes Saturday against the Bucks, who clinched a playoff spot when the Wizards lost in Chicago last night, 126-117. Based on the calendar and on games played, no one has ever clinched faster than Milwaukee.
Ooh. Let me just do a little anecdote or a little addendum on the Carmelo Anthony story.
Mm-hmm.
So he did play in 2018 of the playoffs with the Thunder, actually had a bunch of pretty productive games. They played that first round series against Utah. He scored 17, 15, 14, and 11 in the first four games. So he actually was a contributor on that team. But if you erase that, because we don't really think of his Thunder days, the last time Carmelo was in the playoffs was 7 years ago, the 2013 Knicks, which is why, to me, there's some interest in him making the playoffs, is because we really haven't seen him as a starter in 7 years in the playoffs. It's been a long time. Like, the Knicks have been that bad for that long.
Was 2013 the same year they went to the second round with the Pacers, or was that before that? I've lost track of
that. That was, yes.
Okay.
That was his run. They went to the second round and lost to the Pacers in six, I think.
Jeez. So a video posted this weekend of Ben Roethlisberger throwing footballs, looking like, at least in my mind, our good buddy Torg Bellinger.
Here we call it March Madness.
It's still February, but close enough. Big Ben in a T-shirt and still the huge beard, like a good 6 to 8 inches off his face of volume in that beard, backwards cap, white sneakers, just tossing a football in a gym.
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the grizzled, homely, bearded look for quarterbacks. I don't agree with it. When Fitzpatrick does it, I don't agree with it. When Aaron Rodgers did it, I don't agree with it. When Luck did it, I mean, Luck kind of can get away with it because he's been doing it for a long time. But, like, it just doesn't make you look like you're ready to lead everybody into battle. It makes you look like you're kind of slouching.
I mean, Luck had a worse beard than me in terms of, like, consistency to it. So there's that. The other guys are a different beast, though. Like, the fact that Fitzpatrick has to, like, jam his beard into his chin strap. That's the problem.
Look at Rodgers last year in the playoffs. Didn't it kind of seem like he wasn't all in, and partially because he kind of looked like he wasn't shaving?
I can't picture Andrew Luck. I mean, I'm Aaron Rodgers with this beard now that you're talking about.
Remember how he refused to shave, and I don't know if it was like a playoff beard type thing, but...
But it wasn't a full-blown beard.
It was getting there. Pull up a picture.
I can't even picture this.
He looked like he just stopped caring in life.
So I have his chin strap.
Roethlisberger, by the way, while he is throwing, is still about 2 to 3 months away from full medical clearance after September elbow surgery.
You're right.
Was it that bad? I don't remember it either.
You know, he looks like DA's agent. I forgot that's what he looks like. It's like Gideon, yeah.
Well, Gideon doesn't have a beard
either.
No,
but that, I feel like I picture him looking like that.
But what does he look like?
He looks like somebody...
How about the radio listeners that don't know what my agent looks
like? Sorry, you're right. That's very inside. He looks like somebody in a plumber's union who just got laid off.
Okay.
Is that better? Is that a...
Much better,
Gideon's
yes.
Listening. Gideon's like a millionaire, one of the up-and-coming. I mean, I still write of him. He's still one of the more successful younger agents, despite having you hanging on to him.
Yeah, despite.
And he's a unemployed plumber? Is that what he looks like?
Yeah, he's going to love hearing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, by the way.
I ain't getting that deal.
He ain't picking you up.
Just to recap, Sunday number 3 in the XFL, Cardale Jones, so unlike Cardale Jones, 4 interceptions. His D.C. defenders finally lose 39-9 to the L.A. Rams. The St. Louis Blues beat the New York Guardians 29-9. Ryan Newman revealing in a statement He is dealing with an unspecified head injury from last week's crash at Daytona. He has no other injuries, though, and wants to race again as soon as possible. A team spokesman says Newman will provide more details, answer more questions once he's up to it. Joey Logano won yesterday's NASCAR race at Vegas. NHL trade deadline, 3 Eastern this afternoon. Last night, the Capitals sent a third-round pick to Montreal for winger Ilya Kovalchuk. Now, sit back and be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
In honor of Sam Rubinoff and his Florida Panthers hoodie pinch-hitting today, we have not one but two Florida men.
Perfect.
Whoa.
Two of them recently robbed a CVS, allegedly, in Clearwater, Florida.
Like, we try not to do Stunt to a News about Florida, but it just ends up that every single day the best story's from Florida.
And when I get to the end of this story, you will know that there was no other choice but this one. So these two beautiful Florida men allegedly took more than 10,000 pills, mostly hydrocodone and oxy, from this CVS. The street value said to be north of $320,000. But those men and an accomplice quickly taken into custody because their faces and their getaway car were very clearly seen on surveillance footage, which helped when police followed the trail that the men led as they were driving back home, taking the pills out of the bottle and then throwing the bottles out the window of their truck, literally creating a trail back to where they were going. So police found them at the end of the bottle trail, went, oh, here's you on video. You guys look like these, and there's the Chevy truck you were driving. Let's all go to jail.
And every 2 minutes, they're just throwing another bottle out the truck to come follow them.
Yeah.
It's like Hansel and Gretel.
Meh. That's Florida. Congrats again, Sam.
So what kind of pills were they?
Like painkillers. Oxy, hydrocodone. Yeah. $320,000 worth of them. 10,000 pills. Walked in, no masks, waving guns, and then license plates on the car as they drove away.
To defend them just for a second, don't you have to steal in there? Otherwise, you're going to get a receipt that's 10 miles long.
Yeah, the cops followed the receipt.
But couldn't you at least wait to get home or not throw the bottles out of the moving car as you're going back to your safe house?
So these two dudes came in without masks on.
Yeah.
They came and robbed a CVS with guns.
They'll never find us.
And they didn't have masks on.
And then left a trail to where they were going.
The cops are like, okay, we need everybody in Clearwater. Everybody at the CVS. This is going to be a big one, guys. All right, let's try to crack the case. Let's bring in our private investigators. Let's get in public investigators. Okay, everybody, put your minds together. What do we got? We have security footage. We'll start there. All right, well, let's see if we can somehow zoom in. Maybe we can get something in between them. Oh, they're not wearing masks. Oh, they're not wearing masks. Okay, well, let's see. They have the gun in their hand. Yeah, they have the gun in their hand. Okay, well, maybe we can see if the type of car, do we have any eyewitnesses? Oh, you don't need that. We have the license plate. Oh, we got the license plate and they don't wear masks? Okay. Oh, and for about 2 miles down Route 1, they're just throwing bottles out of their car. So you should be able to get these guys in like 5 minutes. Also, they're all hopped up on oxy right now.
I wish you could charge people for being an idiot on top of the actual crime. Just like add on 5 years for
like
being
an idiot
adult.
Tax.
Yeah. Yeah, you
stupid
guys are
little dumb boy.
Whatever you get here, you get 10 more years for being an idiot.
And how often do you look for stories and hope they're not from Florida, at least because of variety purposes?
Yeah, no, I don't want to drag Florida through the mud any more than Florida does to itself. But I mean, when you're leading cops back to you with a trail of empty pill bottles from the painkillers you just thieved from CVS.
It's like when we do the 12 DAs and we don't want to over-maraz it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Amazing. All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we return, Al Michaels, 40 years ago, has one of the most iconic calls perhaps in sports history. Not perhaps, definitely. But is it possible that Al Michaels' famous line was fed to him? We've got inside information. This is the only place you'll get this breakdown of the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, and it's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
D.A., first of all, I want to start off by saying, man, I think you're one of the best sports talk radio hosts in America.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And tomorrow night at 11 Eastern, the Mountain West regular season champs, San Diego State, welcome Colorado State, only on the CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Tweet at me your Ask the Pros question today at DA on CBS. Remember that the DA show is on SiriusXM Channel 206. If you can't get us on normal CBS Sports Radio affiliates, you got us on Sirius as well. SiriusXM Channel 206. Al Michaels is one of the great announcers ever. I think that still how sharp he is for how long he's been doing it is somewhat amazing. The voice of the biggest game of the NFL weekend at 75 years old is not easy. And Al Michaels keeps getting it done, is not in that realm where we're kind of uncomfortably saying, oh yeah, he was once great and putting up with bad games. He's still great. He's still the elite football play-by-play voice, which goes to show you just how long he's been doing this. 40 years ago, Al Michaels was the lead hockey voice for ABC's coverage of the Olympics, 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid. And of course, he had the Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes. Now, that happens after the U.S. beats the USSR, the Soviet Union. 2 days later, they have to beat Finland in the gold medal game. And ultimately, they do. Or actually, his Do You Believe in Miracles, I guess, was after the gold medal game. So, it was the USSR game?
Yes, it was the USSR.
Okay, all right. So, 2 days later, he ends up with the gold medal call as well. And the Americans obviously win the gold in front of our crowd at the Lake Placid Olympics. And the rest, obviously, is history. This is the longevity of Al Michaels and how great he has been for such a long time. Now, if we go back to the movie Miracle, I mean, there is some really emotional scenes in that film as well. Again.
Again. Come on, Craig, blow the whistle. Again.
Michael Ruzioni! Winter, Massachusetts!
Who do you play for?
Play for the United States of America!
That's all, gentlemen.
Herb Brooks driving his guys through these drills again. They're keeled over, ready to vomit. Again, until they get, you're playing for the United States of America. So, awesome movie, incredible moment. But, Sam Rubinoff, you worked with a guy, is it last weekend?
It was about a month ago.
About a month ago, you were doing behind the scenes of a sports telecast. And one of the guys in the truck, was it?
I was working a boxing event, and our main camera guy for the event said, you guys know that game in Lake Placid 40 years ago? And we're like, of course, duh, like we're all sports fans. He goes, yeah, I was a cameraman on that crew for NBC.
Wow.
We're like, all right, that's awesome, dude.
Oh, for
like,
NBC, okay.
Yeah, or whatever, whoever.
I think it was on ABC.
Or ABC, whatever it was.
Okay.
I'm just so used to Al being on NBC now.
Right.
But, so he goes, I was on that crew. I was a camera guy on that crew, and you know the famous line, do you believe in miracles? We're all like, yeah, it's only one of the most famous lines ever. He goes, yeah, I told Al that if they won that day, that's the line he should go with if they won.
So Michaels, this guy claims he fed Michaels the most famous line of all time.
Not only does he claim that he fed it to him, but he called it, that it was going to happen before the game even started.
Oh,
and he said, this is what I told him to do if they win today.
So you worked with a camera guy on a boxing match that insists 40 years ago he knew the Americans would upset the Russians and he fed Michaels the line.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he claims that he did 40 years ago.
How old was this guy?
Mid-70s.
Okay. Okay, so maybe about the same age as Al Michaels. Is it possible? We're breaking news here. Investigative report E60. Camera guy Rubinoff worked with fed the line to Al Michaels. Zamboni driver and Hurricanes goalie David Ayers next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.